account as soon as tomorrow.
When you need extra cash, go to 27cash.com. That's 27cash.com. 27cash.com.
Thunder Country weather. We may see some precipitation later on this week into Thursday, and then no rain for the weekend. Tonight is going to be mostly clear. Your low around 52 degrees for our Tuesday sunshine. The high around 82 and warming up to around 91 on Wednesday. This weather update brought to you by Quick Lane Tire and Auto Center in Sheraton. KIIC.
Now it's time for Just Start Talking on Thunder Country. Brought to you by People's State Bank in Albia. Just Start Talking is a community service program from KIIC. And now, live from high atop the square in downtown Albia, Just Start Talking.
With me for my installment of Just Start Talking, I have Albia native Kaylee Gray in the studio. Kaylee, thanks for being with me on KIIC.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I am so happy to see you as well, because you're an author, and that's something that not everybody gets to do. But we'll get to that information a little bit later about your books that you have written. But talk about growing up. I mean, we knew you were an Albia gal. Mm-hmm. Tell us more about it.
Yes, I loved Albia. I loved the small town community. My parents are pastors here, so I grew up as a pastor's kid. And then I also danced. I was on the dance team and danced most of my life. So absolutely loved all of that. And I was technically probably what you would call like the city girl, like living in town. But my grandparents had a farm. And so I had the ability to go to the farm and spend time there and have adventures there. And so we'll probably talk about it more later. But that's kind of what stemmed the idea of writing children's books. And so, yeah, I loved Albia. Had an amazing community of people here, and I'm still close with a lot of them, even though I've been living in Tulsa, Oklahoma for the last 11 years.
Were you a participant of the Victorian Stroll?
I was, yes. And I actually was able to come back a couple years ago after I released my first children's book and was able to do a window. We kind of did a live reenactment of my first book. And so that was really fun. But actually, the Victorian Stroll is one of my favorite things that Albia does. And so anytime I show my friends pictures in Tulsa or just talk about my hometown, they're like, it sounds like a Hallmark hometown. And I'm like, it really is. And especially at Christmas time.
I'm an outsider, but I've experienced two Victorian strolls, and it's just incredible to see the community come together and put on a great show for the rest of the folks to see.
Oh, they do amazing.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about your first book, Adventures on the Farm with Shirley Ann. It's going to be your first book. Let's get into the before you wrote it. What gave you the love for this background to do it?
Well, I always loved going to the farm. My grandparents had a farm in La Villa, and so as kids, we always got to go there and just ride horses or tractors or just kind of play with the animals and worked cattle. But I would always babysit. I've babysat for probably 20 plus years, and the kids at night would always want a bedtime story. And so, you know, they would want a real life bedtime story. And so I would, you know, just share about my adventures that my cousins and I would have on the farm. And so my grandma, she passed away in 2020, and that's Shirley Ann was her name. And so after she passed, it was kind of my way of grieving, was writing this children's book. And then we later ended up selling the family farm. And so with that, it was kind of just my way to honor her. And so it just kind of was the way I grieved, I guess. And I went to school at William Penn University. I graduated from there with an elementary education degree, currently not using that degree. But I feel like a little bit of that stemmed from also like writing a children's book, because I did take elementary children's books classes.
I'm talking with Kaylee Gray, Albia native here, an author of a couple of children's books. And let's go back to the farm for a minute. You said being with the horses, and so were you actually active in writing solo, or were you with someone else? How adventurous were you on with the horses?
Well, I would say I was pretty adventurous, because a lot of times they wouldn't even put a saddle on for us, and we would just go bareback. And so, because I was the oldest cousin, I usually got to ride alone, but then I also got to give my younger cousin rides. And so I loved that, because then I got to be on the horses longer. My grandma actually purchased a horse. Her name was Star, and that was the horse that we grew up riding over the years, mainly like through the front yard and the backyard and a little bit in the pasture. She didn't let us get too wild with it. And so, but yes, I loved getting to ride the horses and bareback.
I took a sneak peek on your website, and it indicated that you were being able to brush the horses as well. Grandma showed you how to do that. You know, those are lifelong memories that you keep in your mind. Talk about that.
Yeah, no, she just took us along with her, and she taught us to do those things. What's so funny is I remember one of her like little colts loved Jack Flakes or whatever, the little cereal. And so she would shake the box and they would come. And so I remember as a kid, like grabbing those and like trying to get the colt to come. And she even went through brushing and teaching us how to groom the horses. I remember one time she had went in the house, but I, you know, was like, well, I'm a big girl, like I can do this myself. And the horse actually stepped on my foot, and I never told my grandma. I like think it was bruised. It like I was like limping for like days after that. But I wanted to show her that I could do it on my own. And so she, you know, taught us that. She sometimes would have little baby calves that we would get to bottle feed, and that was honestly, I loved doing that. I loved getting to bottle feed the calves, and then worked cattle with my dad and my grandpa. And I just remember like probably being like 8 years old, and they gave me a tiny whip, and I just thought I was so cool. Like, you know, I just thought was invincible. Like, you know, I could do anything. And so those were just like fun memories that, you know, I realized most kids don't get to experience. A lot of kids don't really see farms or get to go to farms. And I have realized that more like moving out of Albia, because I feel like I did grow up with that and I was exposed to it, but not a lot of people have that opportunity. And so that's kind of my way of like through these children's books is getting to share my experiences and educating children on what it's like to see a farm.
I was just thinking about that myself as the demographics of the farmer are becoming older and older, and less young farmers are getting into the farm, so those kids don't have those opportunities. Both of my kids that I have grew up on an acreage, and now they both live in a town, and I bought both of them a book.
Aww.
You know, they're going to be able to live that through these illustrations that we have that we'll talk about here in a little bit. But, you know, let's talk about that Shirley Ann's farm. You know, you talked about the farm sold, but you didn't grieve too much. It was basically another chapter that closed and you moved on.
Yeah, no, I think it was my way of remembering her and my grandpa and the farm that we had. You know, my parents were missionaries in Greece for 6 months before I was born. And then when I was born, they had moved back to the States here. And so they were living on the farm in Iowa with my grandparents. So the first place I came home to was the farm. And, you know, even after moving away from Albia and living in Tulsa, I always had the farm to go back to. That was just, you know, kind of like my safe place of just, it's just so beautiful out there, just, you know, kind of isolated and just getting to be with nature and, you know, riding four-wheelers or the Kubota or just different things. And so it was just my way of also always knowing, like, getting to see Grandpa's silo and just being there. And so once Grandma had passed, I thought of like writing the book, and then I was able to actually add a lot of the details of our family farm into the book, so that after we sold it, our family would still have those memories. Other people that would see it would be like, oh, that, you know, these are beautiful images, but to our family, they were more of like memories of what we saw.
You know, the cool thing about farm kids, they get to see the actual sunrise and the sunset more often than folks that live in the city due to the buildings and the trees, large trees that are around. And so, did you ever take that in? I mean, I took it for granted as a young kid, but then as I got older and wiser. The sunrises and sunsets are certainly something to behold.
Oh, no. I think you always take everything for granted as a kid, and you just think you know everything. And just even the ability to slow down and just to sit on the porch and talk and drink. My grandma always had unsweet tea at the house, which it's so funny. 10 years ago, I got introduced to sweet tea, and I was like, what is this? Because grandma had only made unsweet tea, and that's what I thought tea tasted like. And so it's just so funny. I do, my grandma always, her place, everyone wanted to come and talk to her and just say she made you always feel welcome. And I think the older I get, the more I realize like how special that was and just how important it is to just stop and slow down and just take time to talk.
Well, talk about your podcasting. I mean, a lot of people don't understand what that is, but you have become a person who does podcasts. Give us some insight to that.
Yeah, so it's so crazy. It was not the dream, but about 5 years ago, I decided to start a YouTube channel, mainly just to document my life and just kind of what I was doing. And then a lot of it also was about my relationships, just dating and things like that. Just being single in your late 20s, early 30s. And so I decided to start a YouTube channel, and from that stemmed once 2020 happened. I couldn't do a lot of interviews in person, and it kind of opened up the opportunity to do interviews online. And then I was like, you know what, I should start a podcast. And so kind of just was like using different content. And so I've been able to do then the podcasting then for quite a few years now. And then last year I just started a podcast with my dad. And so that has been just like really fun because I always thought I would like move home and get to do ministry with him. And it's our opportunity, my way of like getting to do something special with him, even when we live 7 hours apart.
So talk about the topics that you do on that podcasting. I mean, you mentioned your father. I'm sure it was religious based, which is great. But talk about your topics that you've used.
Yeah, so the one that I do with my dad is called Dad and Me. And that one is a lot about like father-daughter relationships. Some of it does have to do with like ministry and just like growing up. But some of it is just like talking about like, you know, daddy issues or daddy pleaser. You know, the role of a father is so important. And so just the relationship that you have with your dad, not everybody has the same relationship that I have. And so just kind of sharing that and also giving insider tips, you know, dad advice. And so that one's really fun. And then I also have one called We're Talking About with Kaylee Gray. And so that is mine. And it mainly is just, it can be about anything. It's mainly about my life, chasing dreams, but a lot of it is about relationship advice. So it could be about online dating or catfishing or ghosting or, you know, how to put yourself out there or, you know, questions to ask or just like all the fun things that I have, like crazy experiences I have gone through, but also encourages and helps people along the way.
We're talking with Kaylee Gray for my segment on Just Start Talking. And one more question about that podcasting before we kick it to the curb and move on to our next topic. How did people get to that? How did people find your podcast?
Yeah, so my podcast is on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube. And so if you just look up We're Talking About with Kaylee Gray, usually if you type in Kaylee Gray, K-A-L-E-Y-G-R-A-Y, if you type that in, usually on YouTube or Spotify or Apple Podcasts, you should find it.
Sounds simple, and hopefully folks can do that better than I can, but yeah, that was fantastic. Now, I also mentioned that I cheated. I looked on your website. I admired the website because of the fact that technology and old people sometimes is hard. This website was very easy to maneuver through and navigate. Did you create that?
I did, actually, and that was one of the hardest things. My dad helped me find like the web supporter to help create it, so it was kind of like model-based where I just had to put in the information, but that is very stressful and very hard. I don't know how people like do that as a career, but it was fun, and I loved getting to specialize it and just put everything that I wanted into it.
As an instructor, I was always proofreading. You've got to make certain that you proofread it two or three times to make certain that there's not a misspelled word. Talk about that.
Well, thankfully, a lot of my friends are marketing majors, and so they have definitely helped me. I will send it to them. I'm like, hey, does this look good? Like, do you approve this? And so thankfully, I usually get a few sets of eyes on it, because it's amazing how you can read the same thing over and over again, and you think that it's correct, and it is not.
So well said. So well said. That is for sure. Kaylee Gray here in the studio with me for Just Start Talking. As a guy, I'm more interested in the making of the book. I mean, how did you pick out the material? How did you pick out the size for the book for the little kids? The colors, they are so beautiful and vivid. The illustrations and, you know, the amount of pages. I'm sure you don't want a kid's book that has 50 pages and whatnot. But, and then shipping, all that information. Give us some insight to the actual construction of this.
Yes. Oh, man. I mean, I'll give you the short version of it for sure. Otherwise, we'd be here forever. But so with it, I had to decide what age I wanted to gear my children's book to. And so I decided to do the 0 to 5 year old age bracket. And with that, you know, little kids are constantly ripping up pages or doing something. And so board books are very popular for the younger kids. So then I started researching, okay, board book printing. Well, pretty much all board book printers print out of the U.S. And so something I really was, you know, wanting to do was print in the U.S. So I actually found the only board book printing press in the U.S. They're in New York, and all of their materials, everything is printed here in the U.S. And so you have to read the fine lines when you're researching about that, because a lot of them will say that they print local, but then if you keep reading, it shows that they do outsource it to a different country.
Oh, my.
So that was something I really had to research and figure out. And of course, you know, you pay a little bit more for it, but that was because I was, you know, doing something close to the family farm. I wanted to stay local to the U.S. And so with that, when you find the board book templates, I had to pick out the size. So they had like a 6x6 or a 7x7. So they had multiple different sizes that I could pick. And so I chose the 6x6. It's easy for children to hold in their hands. And with that, they give you a set amount of pages, which I didn't know originally, because I was, you know, I knew I was going to do a counting book for my first one. And so I was counting to 10. And so I had like all these like intro pages and outro pages and all of these things. Well, when I researched and found out the board book only allowed me to have 18 pages, and that included the cover and the back cover, I really had to condense things and make things a lot smaller. So I always say, like, make sure you find out, like, the amount of pages you can have for a board book before you start writing, because otherwise you'll be like me and have to condense. And I've really learned less is more with children's books. And so after I found the printer and I found the size, I got the spread and was able to break it up and to figure out what pages and everything that I wanted to do things on. Then I found my illustrator, my first illustrator. I went through a third party company called Fiverr, and you can pick out illustrators and things like that. She did an amazing job with all of the colors. Everything was so vibrant. And then Fiverr had cut ties with her because she had lied about saying she was in the U.S. and wasn't. It was a very dramatic story. I literally thought I was going to have to restart my whole children's book. It was a very stressful situation. So then for the second one, I wanted to make sure I found somebody that was in the U.S. and randomly found her. It was so amazing, such a God connection, how we got brought together. And so then she was able to mimic the images from the first one and make them better. And I was just so impressed and so happy with it. And she caught the vision of it and understood the details I want. Because a lot of time with illustrations, like when you have the writing and you send them, like, you know, here's the writing, and then they can just illustrate and start, you know, picking whatever they want for the pages. I was very meticulous on, like, well, I want this because I want these special details. Like, this is what was familiar to our family farm. And so I wanted just those special key memories that maybe a lot of people writing books don't do. But I was very like, the color of the watering canister needs to be this color, or, you know, the animals need to be this. And so that was just kind of like something special that I put into my book. Did a little bit more time and effort, but it was the little touches that, you know, was special to me and to my family.
Yeah, you don't want a purple pig, you know, that's for sure, right?
I mean, no.
And then, so where was that first illustrator at?
She was in Pakistan.
Oh, my.
Yeah, so it was crazy. So I should have known because the English was a little off, you know, communication, but she was doing a great job. So I just was like, you know what, maybe just give grace. And then I learned the hard way, so.
Hey, that's what life is sometimes. So talk about what surprised you when getting the production going. I mean, this is your very first book, Adventures on the Farm with Shirley Ann. What did you learn that kind of surprised you and said, whoa, this is something that I didn't even plan on, besides the illustrator?
Well, I had a timeline of when I wanted everything done and thought it should be done, and I stuck to that timeline. But when you're working with other people, they don't always do that, and different things arise and come up. And so I realized how hard it is to chase a dream and to get it done. But it was one of the most rewarding things I did. And so I really had to learn to let go of control and just allow the process to happen. Of course, like, push through and try to do everything I could. But yes, control was definitely one of the hardest things. But I think once I got all of the contacts, like doing all the research and everything took a lot of work, but once I had the contacts and got the printer, and when you receive that first copy in your hand and you get to see it, it's one of the most rewarding things that it's almost unreal. And I always joked around, like, with my first book, I'm like, well, I say that I, like, wrote a book. And now that I've written the second one, I'm like, well, I'm an author now. You know, I didn't want to call myself an author for just writing one book, even though I was. But it was just super special. Once you see that and you hold the dream in your hand, it just makes it 10 times more real.
I can almost guess there was goosebumps for sure seeing that in print for the very first time.
There were tears, I will say. I did tear up. And so, especially with the second one, on the last page, it's actually an image of my grandparents' farmhouse. And just to see that, it brought the goosebumps. It brought, like, tears. It was almost like a sigh of relief. You're like, wow, I did it. It's here.
Good for you. Good for you. I'm talking with Kaylee Gray. She's an Albion native and now author of two children's books. The second one was Let's Plant a Garden. Talk a little bit about that one.
Yes. So I wanted to continue the series on, and so thought about the garden, and, you know, I kill everything that I plant. So I have kept a plant alive for the last 9 months, so I might be turning a new leaf. No pun intended, but things are looking up. But I didn't always do a lot of work in the garden, but I reaped the benefits of the garden harvesting with my grandma. And so I did, you know, pick tomatoes and green beans and strawberries and things like that back in the day. But I really wanted children to be able to work on their colors and also learn the process of writing or planting a garden. You know, a lot of people now have, homesteading is really popular and like farm to table. And so a lot more people are planting gardens and wanting to do that. And so I really wanted to kind of share that process. Like, it's amazing how you start with a seed and then you have food that you can eat and bring it to your table. And there's patience along the way. There's so many different steps along the way. And I wanted to share more of that process in the children's book and thought it was a perfect continuation because my grandma was a master gardener. She loved her horses and she loved gardening. And so I just was another way to honor her and just kind of remember her.
That's a fantastic story for sure. I might be asking a question that lets the cat out of the bag, but do you have what's next in store?
I do. Yes, I guess I can share. I want to do ABCs of the farm. So I thought that would be a nice little bundle. You would have counting, colors, and then the ABCs. So hopefully this fall we'll get to start working on that again. My illustrator is on maternity leave and I definitely want to work with her. So we're going to probably try to start again this fall to work on ABCs of the farm.
How cool is that? For sure. I want to tell our listeners, make sure you can listen in if you missed this or want to hear it all over again. Go to www.kiicradio.com and pick that audio vault tab that's on the top, and then on the right side you'll be able to see this podcast and other podcasts as well for our Just Start Talking if you want to listen to it all over again. Kaylee Gray, my goodness gracious, what a phenomenal individual with not one but two children's books. Thank you so much for being with me here in KIIC.
Thank you so much. And if anybody is interested in getting a copy of Adventures on the Farm series, you can go to my website, adventuresonthefarm.com.
What you need are satin pillows, ribbons flowing down like willows. What you need is me to love.
One station that is bringing back the country hits you know the words to. Thunder Country, KIIC.
I grew up dreaming of being a cowboy and loving the cowboy way. Pursuing the life of my high-riding heroes, I burned up my childhood days. I learned all the rules of a modern day drifter. Don't you hold on to nothing too long. Just take what you need from the ladies that leave them with the words of a sad country song. My heroes have always been cowboys, and they still are, it seems, sadly in search of and one step in back of themselves and their slow-moving dreams. Cowboys are special with their own brand of misery from being alone too long. To die.